If you want to get your favorite technical news, give the Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 166, entitled Boob Tube. I'm Chris, and with me today is...
I am Matt.
And so we're going to talk to you about what's going on in the TV universe. So, I have just watched Justice League, the...
Snyder Cut.
The Snyder Cut. It runs 4 hours and 6 minutes. It should have been 2 movies at least, and after I put that in my notes, I revised that too. It should have been at least 3 movies. It's too much to sit there. I watched like an hour and a half, and then I went and did stuff for like 8 hours, and I came back and I watched like an hour, and then I went and did stuff for like 4 hours, and then I came back and I, you know, finished it up. And the problem with it is, so the premise of it is I would be super psyched at a 4-hour superhero movie. If there's a whole bunch of ifs, actually, if the concept was completely original, the Snyder Cut is a DC comic universe version of the Avengers story, all the Avengers movies put together. I mean, it's his version of the last two, you know, Endgame and
Infinity War.
And Infinity War. If you had taken both those movies and put them together, you'd have probably the same runtime as this. It has some beautiful, beautiful big action sequences and things. And, you know, I can never complain about Gal Gadot. But it's too much, particularly in the fact that, because in pacing, in a 4-hour movie, there's 3 or 4, maybe 5 really exciting action sequences. And then the rest of it is broody, broken superhero people talking to each other and, you know, expressing their fears and why they won't work with each other and, you know, all those things. And it's like, it's just too much to sit there and watch it all in one. And it's a very dark movie. You know, all the sets are dark. So the problem with that is, particularly as I'm getting older, is that's eye strain. I want to see detail, so I turn the brightness on my TV all the way up, you know? And it's just very dark to sit there for 4 hours. Is it a good story? Yeah, it's a good story. And do I like the antagonist better than I do Thanos? Absolutely. You know.
Well, that's kind of a low bar.
Yeah, I know. And to a large degree, with the exception of... I am not a huge Superman fan. Even though... when I think of Superman, I think of Chris Reeves in the movies in the 80s, because those are the ones I grew up with. And those movies do not hold up well by any means. I try to go back and watch them, and they are so slow. And, you know, I didn't like the previous Superman DC movies because, one, Jesse Eisenberg is not Lex Luthor by any means or ways. And luckily, there's only like one flashback scene that goes on for about 30 seconds that you actually have to see him in Justice League. So I'm good with that. But there's really 3 stories going on. And I will warn you here, there's going to be some spoilers because I just don't care. I'm going to tell it one story.
Well, by the time we release this anyway, it should...
Yeah, most people should have watched the movie by then.
That care about spoilers.
Yeah. One, and like I said, I think this should have been at least 3 movies. There's 3 major stories going on here. There is the story of Batman putting the Justice League together. There is the story of Darkseid and his minion Steppenwolf, and then Steppenwolf's minions of I forget what kind of demon they call them, parademons. I think is what it was, that are the enemy, and there's a whole story right there, you know, that could be in a movie after Batman had gotten the Justice League together. And then there's the story of bringing Superman back to life, and the Superman and his mother and Lois Lane trilogy that goes in there. And in reality, at the very end of the movie, which this is the weird, because Snyder left the movie open for two things. He left the movie open for a sequel to happen, and he also left it open so that a sequel could happen either in their prime universe or a alternate universe. Because if you remember, DC Comics has the multiverse, so you know, you have the same people who live in different multiverses.
Marvel is about to do the same thing.
I know. But you there's two movies there that he left open for spinoffs. There's also, like I said, it's at least three movies, but there's also two other movies that they could have done, which actually, if I were Warner Brothers, I would have done. So there is the Victor Stone Cyborg movie, like how he became Cyborg and all of that. They reference all of that in this movie as like flashbacks and things, but that could have been a movie in and of itself. But they could have easily just incorporated that into the building of the Justice League movie. And then there is the Flash story. And they try to pay homage to Barry Allen, and the, you know, the fact that his father is in jail. They have some scenes where he's talking to his dad in prison, you know, because he supposedly killed his mom, but he really didn't, you know, that kind of thing. But they go much further into Victor Stone's past than they do the Flash. The other thing that is also irritating about how much it copied MCU is that there's the direct, you know, MCU and or Marvel Comics and DC Comics, they always had the direct, like, if you're going to build a character that fits this niche, I'm going to build a character, you know, and they change them a little, like Aquaman in DC, and particularly in the DC movies, is Thor in the Marvel comic universe. Demigod, you know, kind of rebel without a cause, doesn't necessarily follow exactly what his people want him to follow, that kind of thing. But they made Barry Allen the Spider-Man, the kid Spider-Man. So they made him much more immature. He's like a freshman in criminal justice. They mentioned that, you know, in college, but he's not, you know, but he's got, and they don't explain any of how he got his super speed or anything. And, it's kind of annoying because they bring this character and he has to be full-fledged part of the team, but there's no background into it.
Yeah.
You know, which you expect. I don't want to say you expect, because that's more of, but there is a formula to how you build these teams up, and you know, you have to provide some background, and we have background from the Superman versus Batman movie, and we have background from the two Wonder Woman movies, you know, and we have background from the Aquaman movie, you know, coming into this. But the reality of it is we probably should have had two movies in between, one for Victor Stone and one for the Flash, and then a Justice League movie, and then
the Dark Side movie,
and then the Return of Superman movie, you know.
Yeah.
Which would have been the second of the Dark Side movies, because that's related.
Sure. But, well, and that would have been like Infinity War and
Endgame. Yeah. The problem is I think Zack Snyder realized that he may not get another chance to do another DC Comics movie. The other thing that I find totally annoying about that I do think Disney has done well with the Marvel Comic Universe is the people who play the characters in the movies are the same people who play the characters in the television shows.
Yeah.
So,
although I think that helps in that the movies came first.
Yeah. Very true.
I mean, let's not kid but each other. The DC thing was a TV thing, and it should have stayed that way. But well, then they saw what happened with the Marvel movies, and they're like, man, we really need to make some movies.
That was the other thing that...
And then what sucks about that is that now we're in the age of COVID. Everything's going back onto TV, where DC would have made some major bank if they just stuck with the model that got them there.
Yes, yes. And the thing is there hasn't been, I mean...
And to be honest, they could have taken the Arrowverse and made a legit movie.
Correct.
From that.
Well, and that's what I'm saying is they haven't done a TV show for Wonder Woman. So it would have been easy to take the Wonder Woman movies and brought her into TV, use Gal Gadot.
Yep.
They hadn't done Batman television show. I mean, they've done Gotham, but that was Bruce Wayne when he was little, not Bruce Wayne as an adult. So Ben Affleck could have come and been Superman. Now, they had already done... what's interesting because of the multiverse, which has been in the DC comic book television series, we've had a couple of Supermen. So mm-hmm. you could have explained Superman being different in the movie. He's Superman from a different multiverse than the ones... Because, you know, they just started Superman and Lois Lane as their new series. And it's actually been good. And it's actually the guy who's playing Superman is the one I think is the best Superman I've watched in the new Superman. He's the one I think is most convincing. You know, it's not Ray Palmer and...
My issue with Brandon Routh is that movie, he was just a deadbeat dad. I mean,
yeah,
that's horrible for Superman. I mean, that's just horrible.
Yep. It's... I knew what they're trying to do, and now... I got HBO Max. I watched it on HBO Max. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to watch an hour and a half. Because I would never go to a movie theater for a four-hour movie. I mean, the value's there if you're only paying $6.50 or
They would literally do what they did with Amadeus.
You'd have to have an intermission.
You'd have an intermission, and... what I don't like about that is that then breaks up the movie.
Yeah. Why didn't you just have two movies in the first place?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, that being said, it wasn't uncommon to have intermissions in movies, particularly back in the 50s and 60s. Look at all the Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals they made in the movies. Almost all of them have intermissions. I mean, probably the one you see, because the intermission, the print that they made the Blu-rays and DVDs off of Oklahoma has had the intermission animations in them, so it's still in the Blu-ray, and there's this annoying part in the Blu-ray where they had to create a chapter you could skip, you know, to do that. But it wasn't uncommon. Now, Oklahoma isn't 4 hours. Oklahoma is almost 3 hours. There was an intermission in it, you know. And I do remember...
Did 2001 have an intermission in it?
I don't remember that. Didn't Dances with Wolves have an intermission?
Yeah.
Yes, that one.
Because that was a 3-hour epic.
Yeah. And I'm thinking Hannibal had an intermission in it. Or Silence of the Lambs. I don't remember. It's been so long since I've watched it. It's not like that's a movie I go, hey, you know, I'm bored. I'm going to rewatch this
one. Yeah, that was one and done for me. Yeah, I don't.
Put some lotion on it.
I think I watched that once. So I don't recall if there was an intermission in that. And I would not have seen it.
I saw it in the movie theater. But I don't remember. Yeah, I just remember it being long. But I kind of remember maybe there was an intermission in that one. I definitely remember Dances with Wolves had an intermission. Because I remember it happening in the movie theater. Because it was probably the first time I remember actually going to a movie.
Yeah.
Where they actually had an intermission.
Well, and what's always so jarring about that is that, for me, it takes me a while to immerse myself in whatever it is I'm watching anyway. Then you break it for 10 minutes, and then I got to do that all over again.
Well, it's that whole suspension of disbelief, yeah. Well, the other thing that you don't want to happen either is, you know, the pressure that you need to go to the bathroom also breaks your suspension of disbelief.
Yeah. And then there's that.
Like, I wish this would stop for a few minutes so I could go to the bathroom, but I don't want to miss any of it, you know, particularly if you're at a movie theater and stuff.
Right. Well, yeah.
You know, I spent all this money. There's no pausing it or rewinding it. Hey, everybody, I'm going to hit the rewind button. I missed the last 10 minutes. I hope you don't mind. You know. But who knows if we'll ever go see a movie in the theater again. Again, part of the reason I got HBO Max is just because there was a compelling list of movies that I wanted to see by Warner Brothers, and they were putting them all in HBO Max this year, including Dune. The new Dune, I will get to see at home. On my TV with the same viewing ratio, you know, of an IMAX theater. So I'm not disappointed in that. And, you know, for me to go to a movie, my last in-movie experience sucked so bad, I was at that point just ready to throw it away.
That was one of the Star Wars movies?
Last Star Wars
movie. Yeah,
It was, not only was it a bad movie, but then to have the sound broken, because they had blown the speakers out of the surround sound, and so anytime like a ship rumbled by, all the speakers would crackle and pop, because they'd blown the woofers out. So, well, let's move on. So the other one that actually also just came out is Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus. It's a series. And Matt and I, we were talking about this before we were recording the podcast. And I said, wouldn't it have been better if this had been the new Captain America and the Winter Soldier? Since at the end of Endgame, the Cap gave his shield to the Falcon. And then Matt, because I haven't watched this series yet, Matt was like,
But did he though?
So,
and to answer the question, no.
Well,
and part of it is because Sam, the Falcon, doesn't feel like he's worthy of the shield.
Yeah. Well, the other issue too is part of Cap. It's not like Captain America wasn't a superhero in the strictest world of superhero. He has supernatural powers.
Well, yeah, he got the serum.
Yeah, which
that Sam Falcon doesn't have.
Yeah.
As we get to the end of the first episode, the government has decided, the American government has decided that...
Gee, the American government deciding something.
We need an American hero to be our symbol of American values and this, that, and the other thing. And so...
So they're going to get the Russian spy?
We've appointed some other dude that we've not met yet
as the new Captain
America. And that's roll credits.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I'll have to go back and watch that tonight, maybe. That being said, it's another... I'm kind of over the MCU. I'll tell you... Maybe I'll like Falcon and the Winter Soldier a lot better.
WandaVision was tough.
WandaVision was tough to sit through the whole thing. I'm happy.
And it was tough because the first three episodes were so not an MCU.
Well, I will give you the first thing. Five episodes were tough to sit through.
Four on were decent.
Had
they started at four, I'd have been okay with it.
You know, and I'm glad that they resolved the arc.
Yeah.
In the season. But I have a feeling
I don't need a season two of WandaVision.
Exactly. That was my point exactly. It was a nice 10 episode interlude, but let's not go back.
Now, there are people who are saying, hey, let's do a season two. I'm like, why?
Well, my understanding is Paul Bettany is not coming back to be the Vision. There was an interview and he said, I'm the cameo in this show. And that was a couple weeks ago. But
I just don't think
Paul Bettany wants to resume that role for a longer period of time. Now, Disney pays him enough, he's going to do it. He's a freaking actor. It's kind of like a couple podcasts ago when we talked about Justin Long is just an actor. And
yeah.
If you pay him enough, he's going to portray whatever you want him to portray.
As Vision... Yeah, I don't see a way for him to come back. Yes, White Vision.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but I think again, that's his point. I'm the cameo in the show.
Yeah.
He's a recurring character, but he's
also
not...
the idiot who was like, "Hey, there's going to be a big major Luke Skywalker in Mandalorian thing at the end." And I was like, "Oh, it's just dude looking in a mirror."
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I take Paul Bettany with like boulders of salt here on in.
Well,
don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like the first episode of this.
Well, we'll see how it plays out, you know.
What was really interesting was you don't see Falcon and the Winter Soldier together yet in the first episode.
Oh, okay.
The first half is Falcon. The second half of the episode is Winter Soldier.
Hmm.
And basically what they're doing is they're kind of getting to a point where you're going to see them need to team up. That will probably happen in the second episode.
Well, again, I haven't watched it, so we will discuss this again as the series goes on, just like we've kind of discussed WandaVision. So I'm going to pivot. We're going to pivot to my favorite network. Hey, try again? Yeah, sorry, Siri. I'm going to pivot. Okay. But I'm going to pivot to Paramount Plus because now it really should be named Star Trek Plus, streaming service. But we finally got word that Strange New Worlds is in production, which means once it's in production, it's real.
Yeah.
Because
there's no going back
and they're spending money on it.
Yeah.
The last thing I read, though, and this is what's confusing. So we're still we're at the end of the first actual quarter of calendar year 2021. Everything I had read prior to this said that they were looking to premiere in 2022. I don't think that's probably the case.
Oh, we'll get it before the end of the year.
I think we're going to get it before the end of the year. Because right now, they're almost all these shows are produced in Vancouver, British Columbia. Because I think there's some super tax breaks for doing them there. they're going to record 10 shows or 12 shows, whatever they decide that initial run is. But so far, if we look at Picard and Lower Decks and Discovery, we're going to get 10 to 12 shows. That's, you know, 1 hour shows. That's a season. They're going to record all those. If they started, I mean, what I read, they started in the, you know, in kind of the beginning of March.
Yeah.
So maybe by the end of May, they will have recorded the 10 shows, 10 episodes. And then they'll go into post-production.
Will take, you know,
and then three or four. They'll get inserted into, I think we'll see them. I think we're going to see them in 2021. We'll see them somewhere between the middle of October to the end of November, just maybe early December. That's the first episode, and it'll run into 2022.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wouldn't expect it before Halloween.
Yeah,
I mean, I to be honest, I'm really Thanksgiving is probably more likely.
I think we're gonna see them more likely in the first couple of weeks of November, because they'll take even though they'll release an episode, they don't want to premiere something in a holiday week. Nobody does. So that's exciting to me because one, I thought Anson Mount was a phenomenal Chris Pike. And so far he's like of the new Star Trek, you know, from Discovery on, he's my favorite identifiable character so far. And I also like Rebecca Romijn as
number one.
And of the new Spocks, I think Ethan Peck is a good Spock. I like him better than I do Zachary Quinto.
I need to see more of him before I can finally pass judgment. Yeah. But Yeah, Zachary Quinto was a huge disappointment. As Spock.
And you know, and some of the rumors they're talking about the, you know, other characters. They've announced a slew of other characters who'll be on the show.
Have they actually announced characters?
They've announced regular cast, you know, who will be part of the crew. Now, whether they're all human or whatever, but they look exciting people. One of the ladies is from the Lower Deck, or Lower Decks, the Star Trek shorts, you know, with Pike.
Yeah.
The cadet. She will be returning as a recurring character. There's talk of seeing McCoy's daughter in the show.
Really?
Yes. There's talk of Scotty being in the show.
Okay. I can see that. He was a junior engineer before...
And same thing with possibly with Sulu, because he was a science officer.
Right.
But what the thing I'm probably most excited about is that each even though there might be an overarching or storyline for a season or for two or three episodes, each episode can stand on its own. It's going to be more like TOS.
Yes.
In that respect. So you can watch them out of order and, you know, and not go, well, why are they doing this because of this? You know, each episode is supposed to be a stand on its own and be a more traditional Star Trek
type show. Which I think has been desperately needed.
I agree. You know, when you look at all the formats, I also think, because frankly, Lower Decks was largely that way too. You could, they, even though there was some overarching, each episode stood on its own. And I think CBS had to be convinced, and they were convinced through Lower Decks that, oh, wow, people really like this, you know. Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm super excited about that. Now, what I'm not super excited about is, and this is my own prognostication. I know that Lower Decks has been in production since the previous season ended of Lower Decks. But the animation, it's kind of funny because you wouldn't think this.
Why the animation takes so much longer than a live action
production. Well, part of it is, particularly in COVID times, you would think that live production would take a lot longer, but because everybody goes into quarantine, 2 weeks cast and crew and everything, and they're kind of living a bubble during that period of production, they get it all done at one time. There's no going home, and they're captive audience. You know, during production. So they get all of the film scenes done. And it takes a lot less time to film a scene than it takes the animators to draw a scene. And all of the... Because they did a behind the scenes of Lower Decks, you know, what went on, particularly because they were doing this during the height of COVID last year. And they were saying, you know, it takes forever. And, this animator who does backgrounds has to ship their part to the people who do the foregrounds. And then they do their part. And then, you know, we generate the animation on the computers, and then we then have to go into the studio, and we get, you know, each person does their voice animation, and, you know, or voice recording. And then, you know, it takes time to do that across, you know, 10 episodes. And it's not something that happens in a linear fashion. Like, I've got everybody, because they all had to be quarantined together, I've got everybody as a captive audience for a period of 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks to get this done. You know. The other thing is, again, I think it's delayed because of COVID, is the second season of Picard, because, you know, the namesake of the show, Patrick Stewart, is probably at huge risk for catching COVID, and having deleterious effects if he had it. So they have not, I have not heard anything about them starting production or possible stories or anything, but.
I thought I saw an article saying they were in writing, but that was a while ago.
The weird thing about Picard, I enjoyed the show. Now, my favorite characters were not Picard or Seven of Nine, although Seven of Nine was pretty badass. I liked the captain of the ship.
Yep.
And
all the EMHs.
Yes, I love the EMHs. But past that, I don't see, particularly in lieu of the previous season of this last season of Discovery, mm-hmm. I'm just scratching my head and I'm going, how do I see Picard going forward? Because none of it is going to be new or a revelation. Yeah, it's relevant, I guess. Because we have an idea
of where we're going. Yeah.
Because of Discovery Season 3. Unless we went multiverse.
Which we've already done.
Yes.
And decided that didn't work. I was never super jazzed about Picard to begin with. It was better than I expected it to be. But to me, the show that I still can't... I can't get jazzed about is Lower Decks. I wanted to really like it, but I just can't... I can't do it. Which brings me to the Janeway show. Prodigy.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, that show, that so the one, and I haven't heard anything about it in a while, is the Georgia show. Now, they explained it in Discovery Season 3 how, you know, the Guardian of Forever sends her back to a time where
there hasn't been a split yet between the Mirror Universe
and the Prime Universe.
Yeah. Although I'm still not entirely convinced that's true either. So
yeah,
we're going to have to wait and see.
So that show I think could be interesting. Particularly the fact that you know, he could... or she could, you know, totally change or diverge the universe again. What went on in the Mirror Universe, which we've done a couple of times, you know.
But here's my problem with that. If the Guardian sends her back to a time before the Divergence, and she maintains the integrity of the universe, does that not change history for the entire saga?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how that's going to work out. But again, who knows, that might have been an original plan, and now it's something that's not going to happen. But I agree, the Janeway show, I'm kind of skeptical about. You know, the idea that some rebellious teenagers somehow find some derelict Federation starship and end up exploring the universe, and Janeway gets involved, and
yeah, I'm not buying the premise at all.
It sounds like Stargate universe and the Star Trek universe.
But at least Stargate universe, I could by the plausibility of how they got there and why.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've been rewatching that one, that's why.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like that one.
So,
I like that it's only two seasons, too.
Yeah. So, let's move on a little bit. I mean, I love Star Trek, and we could probably talk about this all day, but...
True.
I just wanted to kind of cover what was going on.
What else you got?
So, have you watched Resident Alien?
I caught... a bit of the first episode. I had been meaning to come back to it and just haven't.
So, while the first episode is not bad,
I'm hearing it gets much better.
Oh, the show is amazing. And I'll tell you why. So, I'll give you the premise. So, the premise is that this alien engineer / scientist, he's come to the Earth to destroy humanity. And... He gets hit by lightning while he's flying through the atmosphere, and it disables his ship, and his ship breaks up. Part of his ship breaks up. And it's deposited, all the wreckage is deposited over the Colorado Rockies.
Okay.
And he, this race has ability to molecularly modify themselves to be, appear as other races. Well, and it's not just appearance. I think their biology changes. Because takes over the identity of this guy who has a cabin in the Colorado Rockies. Come to find out, this guy is a world-renowned pathologist, and the town, the little 300 or 400 person town that he's near, their town doctor is killed. Mm-hmm. And so, like most shows, there's multiple storylines on. There's the main storyline of the doctor alien trying to find his weapon of mass destruction to destroy humanity. But then there's also, he has to become the town, well, first he has to do the autopsy on the old town doctor, and he gets involved in the investigation into how he was killed, or they, you know, why he was killed, or whatever. And then you get the humorous part that comes in, whereas it's like one in 200 million, there's a genetic configuration. I don't want to say it's not an error. It's just genetically one in 200 million people can see the actual alien for what it is, and one little kid in this town can see it, and it's the mayor's son. Nice. And so there's this, him and the mayor kind of being frenemies, yeah, you know, and there's a lot of humor in that, because the alien's treating this little kid like he's, you know, his arch nemesis. And there's just a lot of humor. Alan Tudyk does a great job in this movie, in this show. I look forward to it every week. It is probably the best sci-fi show that sci-fi has ever put out.
That's saying a lot, because they did a lot of the Stargate stuff that I really loved, and wow, that's high praise.
I mean, when you're talking about an all-around good show, and a show that is science fiction, but you get non-science fiction people who like it and watch it with you.
Yeah, rare.
That's rare. And it was renewed for a second season. I think it's like a 10-episode run. I haven't watched the last episode that came out this week. That might be the season finale. But it's just an amazing show. It's one I would highly recommend people to watch. And the other thing is, this is one of the few shows where there's real star power in it. You have Alan Tudyk, who is the main character, the alien. Linda Hamilton plays an Air Force general in the show. They went all out. I mean, the production values are good. I mean, I loved Stargate, and they had great production values. But other than SG-1 and the characters they developed outside of MacGyver, most of the shows didn't have much star power. Although Universe did have Lou Diamond Phillips. And stuff. All my Macs are named after Starfleet vessels. All my Linux machines are named after Stargate SG-1 vessels. And then my Windows machines are named kind of quirky, like my Surface is named Surfing Go. You know? Nice. And my HP Omen gaming PC or gaming laptop is named Bad Omen. The bad's because of Windows. But so my Linux laptop, when I use it, is it's named George Hammond. Which was Samantha Carter's ship on SGU.
Well, so, I'm actually pleased to hear that Resident Alien is good and worth watching. I will check it out now. Because I've been, I mean, in kind of a rut waiting for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Well, one of the things, WandaVision. I've been, I love Star Trek. And outside of the season, and I do, part of the reason I like Lower Decks is because they make fun of Star Trek in Star Trek. Like Chief O'Brien has a statue because he's the greatest hero of Starfleet, you know, stuff like that. But that's all insider jokes. But most of, with the exception of the Harry Mudd episodes and in the Star Trek shorts and then the Harry Mudd episodes, season one of, or the two Harry Mudd episodes in season one of Discovery, there hasn't been a whole lot of humor in the stories. They're all very serious and dark. And I mean, season three, there's humor in the fact that they way they resolved the stupid dilithium crisis thing, but that's more humor at the,
expense of it.
Yeah. And what I love about Resident Alien is that although the topic is serious, you know, and there's serious things going on as part of the storyline, there's also a lot of tongue-in-cheek humor built into the show, you know, and humor from the misunderstanding of, because there's two misunderstandings from Alan Tudyk's character as an alien being a human. Is one, his biology has changed, so there's human or things that are affecting him he's never felt before.
Yeah.
From the human perspective. And then there's the whole thing is he doesn't know how to act socially. And what this is the thing. So he learns how to speak English. When he first takes over this doctor's body who has this remote cabin in the Colorado Rockies on a lake, he learns English by watching TV, and it's all Law and Order. And so with the old Law and Order with Jerry Orbach and stuff. Uh-huh. And so he says all these things like they're from, you know, quotes from Law and Order, and they're hilarious because he doesn't know exactly how they're supposed to work. And
yeah.
And, wow. And, he doesn't know how to inflect things correctly. And this is where Alan Tudyk, you don't realize the range he has. He'll say something that's supposed to be sad and he's laughing at it, or it's so there's a lot of situational comedy, you know, it's a serious situation, but because the way he doesn't understand how to react to it, it becomes funny. You know? So it's well worth watching. You'll enjoy it. Going back to Paramount Plus. So when CBS switched to Paramount Plus, and I'm a CBS All Access subscriber. By the way, the best way to get it is CBS gives you 20% off if you pay for it by the year.
Yeah.
So I always pay for it, you know, by the year as an annual subscription. I do the same thing with HBO Max because they give you, I think they give you 15% off, but it's a significant discount, and also you don't get nickel and dimed every month.
Yeah, that's why I need to switch back to yearly for Amazon Prime.
Yeah,
I need to switch back to that because I'm not liking being nickel and dimed every month.
Yep, and but as they were moving from CBS All Access to Paramount Plus, they started adding a whole lot of content. It first started with they got a good bit of Paramount's back catalog of movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started slowly bringing in Nickelodeon stuff. And then when they hit Paramount Plus, they then just dumped another ton of television and movies and Nickelodeon content into it. So it's a lot more valuable than it was when I first started it just to get Discovery.
So now I'm going to say the same thing that I've always said about CBS All Access. CBS is canceling NCIS New Orleans. And it's looking more and more like Gibbs is going to be another ducky and be a part-timer for next season. They're talking about launching a new show called NCIS Hawaii.
Yes.
But there's still nothing happening on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. So I think there's some politics in play there. Because Mark Harmon and they show the guy's really ancient, like 1980s banner that he used to put on his shows. Stephen J. Canal or who?
Belisario.
Belisario, that's it. They have some control over the NCIS property.
Mm-hmm.
That where CBS or Paramount Plus is only a distributor of the product. So I'm not sure if it's something in that agreement between them, where they're not putting it on. Now, I did hear rumors. There was a huge thing of announcements from Paramount Plus, and this is one of them. Like, they're bringing back iCarly.
Yeah.
You know, which my kids loved, particularly my oldest daughter, when she was in, you know, junior high and stuff. But it's now going to be more of an adult show, kind of like Peacock brought back Punky Brewster, which I must admit was an enjoyable show to watch. I watched the first season of it.
I haven't watched it yet. I've been meaning to.
Lighthearted. They do tackle a few things, but it's more situational to the storyline as it is, as opposed to being, I'm trying to include something to be inclusive. But it was, you know, it was an enjoyable show, and you know, you feel good at the end. It kept that.
Yeah.
That,
well, it's Punky.
Yeah. And, but I thought there was, besides NCIS Hawaii, they were going to do another NCIS. There was talk of another NCIS thing that was going just to Paramount Plus.
Really? Because that's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, I forget what it was. It wasn't Hawaii, although I had already heard about the Hawaii thing. And my understanding about New Orleans, too, was... Scott Bakula actually didn't want to continue it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's getting older. I think he wants to do some other things, is what I had read.
I get that.
And there, you know, he also...
which was kind of why when Enterprise ended, he was like...
Yeah.
Not upset. Upset.
Yep. But, so, I think...
How long did Quantum Leap run?
It ran for a long time.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why you would, as an actor, want to get a successful show and not want it to continue. But that is what it is, I guess. That's exciting to hear that there's some talk somewhere about... some sort of an NCIS show on Paramount Plus. I've been saying all along, you want me, that will be the hook.
Well, there's also been talk of some sort of JAG show coming back on Paramount Plus too.
And that would be a hook too, because that's
well, and I think they're related.
They should be.
Both shows are actually one show.
Yeah.
Because they're going to bring Ham back.
Really?
Yeah. I know. He's captain of first officer of an aircraft carrier. But they're somehow going to bring him back.
All right.
But I think what it is it might be the JAG part with an NCIS team doing investigations.
On Harm ship.
Yeah, it could be.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
But they're bringing Frasier back.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Kelsey Grammer's going to reprise his role.
That's going to be tough because a number of those guys died.
Well, yeah, John Mahoney, who played his dad, passed away a couple years ago now.
Yeah.
And, of course, Eddie's gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. Frasier's one of those shows that I can go back and watch, even from season one, and over and over again, because... the cast was so good.
Yeah.
The storylines and writing were so good. They're kind of timeless stories.
It's been in my queue for a while, and every time I'm like, oh, I really should start this, but it's like Quantum Leap, it's like 4,000 seasons.
Yeah, it was 11
seasons. Yeah, I just don't want to start that yet.
1993 to 2004.
That's a long time for a show.
So I'm kind of excited to see that coming back. it'll be fun to see Kelsey. I'm wondering if who's the guy who played Miles?
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name either, but I thought he was one of the ones that... Did he pass away?
I don't think he did. I must have left my phone in the car. Let me look it up while we're talking about it. IMDb.com. If you listeners don't know what IMDb is, that's the Internet Movie Database, which also happens to capture all television. And frankly, captures quite a bit of YouTube content creators now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Frasier, 1993 TV series. Cast. Of course, Jane Lee, she's still alive. She did Hot in Cleveland for a long time with Valerie Bertinelli and Betty White. David Hyde Pierce, that's his name.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not...
He's still alive.
He's still alive. Still
kicking?
Yeah. Okay. And then Perry Gilpin is still around. I've seen her recently in shows, who was Roz. John Mahoney died. He died in 2018. Yeah. I mean, that's the main five people who were on the show. I don't know that... Yeah, so the first dog you played, Eddie, lived from 1990 to 2006. His real name was Moose. But, I'm trying to look. You know, even if they don't bring anybody but Kelsey Grammer back, the show's going to be decent. And more than likely, they'll be able to bring David Hyde Pierce and Jane Leaves and Perry Gilpin back, at least for cameos in the show and things like that. So I think it'll be... I want to see some more comedies on TV. There have been a few good ones. The Unicorn, who has the guy from Justified, not Raylan Givens, but the main... Enemy.
I hate to admit this, but that's one I've never watched.
So that was a show I never wanted to watch because it was about where I'm from.
Yeah.
And then I started watching it. I'm like, hey, I know where that is. Hey, I know where that is. Hey, I know where that is. And then I got hooked because, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And stuff. Because they did a good job of making sure that locations were correct. And when they talked about a road, it actually was the road that went to where they were going, you know. We talked about this earlier, which is Loki on Disney Plus.
I'm looking forward to that one.
I'm still, like I said, I'm still...
Only because it's going to be a different kind of MCU show.
Yeah, well, I mean, you kind of described it. You've researched a little more than I have about that. It's when he went back in time and grabbed the Tesseract...
Yeah, during Endgame.
Yeah, during Endgame, that it's the show's going to be kind of set in that period where he went back and did that, where he disappeared.
Yes.
I think that can be good. I would actually be more interested in seeing Loki being a show about, with him as the center of it and his perspective, back when before he killed Odin and you know. And where, you know, Valhalla.
You could go back and retell the entire MCU from Loki's point of view.
Yeah.
And that would be interesting.
It would. Me. It would be a good show. I just don't want it to be Tom Hiddleston in a suit saying he's Loki doing, you know, evil things. I'm bored of that. Just keep him as an ancillary villain if that's what you want to show, you know. That actually premieres June 11th. The other one from Disney Plus that I'm actually more looking forward to is this new Star Wars animated series where they talk about the Bad Batch.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see that one before I pass judgment on it. But I'm that way with all the animated shows. I'm just not...
So this one's interesting in that from the perspective because this takes place between the end of the Clone Wars and A New Hope.
Yeah.
And so the idea is that the Bad Batch, you know, which were an elite experimental group of clone stormtroopers, now have to maneuver themselves in through the galaxy after really the need for them exists.
Right.
That starts on May 8th, so that's not too far out either. I wish they would get they need to do something. They either need to do like Paramount Plus and have all Star Wars all the time, a new series.
Uh-huh. Well, I think they're getting there.
All the time.
Yeah.
Because it's too long between season The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you got that High Republic show coming.
But that's not even...
Yeah, but that's down the road pretty far.
Everything... So The Bad Batch is the only show that they're releasing for Star Wars in 2021. New.
Wow. Yeah, because even that Rangers show is...
That's still in the concept phase.
Yeah. And having lost Gina.
Yep. That may be a dead show at this point.
There's still ways to do it.
There is, but it may have pivoted.
Yeah.
But Bad Batch is May 8th. CW has an interesting show coming out. Because as a kid, particularly in the 80s, before we had cable, because I don't think we got cable TV until I was in the fourth or fifth grade, so I'd have been 9 or 10 years old. But I remember watching Kung Fu with David Carradine.
Yes.
So they're remaking, CW is remaking Kung Fu. They're modernizing it.
Really?
Now, they're doing some things that you despise.
Okay.
So they're recasting the lead with a female.
Ugh.
They're putting it in a modern setting. So the concept is that this female lead comes home. She lives in like Koreatown or Chinatown or whatever, in whatever big city. And there's a lot of crime and gang violence and all this stuff. And so she's there to clean it up.
Okay.
I don't know how successful this show will be as a remake. It would have been more interesting, even with a female lead, had they kept it back in the Wild West, you know?
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Because, I mean, the original Kung Fu didn't take place in the 70s.
Yeah.
So, it'll be interesting. And then the other one, which actually starts next week, is an Amazon show that I thought was interesting. It's called The Irregulars. And the concept is it's a group of misfits who investigate crimes for Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson.
Oh, that will be interesting.
So, I think that has potential of being a good show. And yeah. It has, the previews I've seen have some really high production values from Amazon.
I am a Sherlock Holmes fan.
Yeah.
You know, and I think anytime you can expand that universe will be interesting to me.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to that one. We'll see how it goes. Anything else you want to add?
No, I mean everything else is pretty much in development that's like not really worth talking about yet. So yeah, no.
So well, we want to hear from you, our listeners, so please send us some feedback at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com, and we'll see you on the flip side.
You've been listening to Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's GIZMOSAPIENS@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the Digital Flip Side.